places to attack us as believers. Again, as you can see, I would think, on our papers, another area the devil uses to hinder our success as a believer is that of rejection. Being rejected. Rejection hurts, and it hurts bad. We deal with rejection in so many areas. Friends, family, a boss, maybe before you're married, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a spouse, after married, maybe authority seemingly having a favorite, adoption, handicap, sickness, and so many more. Probably, if you'll stop and consider it, you've dealt with rejection just like I have. There's a lot of different ways, and I have a place maybe by the end of the lesson for you to put where you have been rejected and how it's been a battle for you too. Because I don't care who you are, we all deal with rejection. And what I mean by these different areas is we've all had friends who maybe turned against us. We've all had family who maybe has decided to not accept us. We maybe had a boss who told us we're fired. It's rejection. Building a relationship and someone turned their back. Even in marriage, a spouse can build a wall and reject their other spouse. An authority, be it a teacher, a boss, even a parent, can seemingly sometimes in a children's eyes, and hopefully not in reality, because that would be wrong, but have a favorite. When I say adoption, I mean this, that adoption is not a problem, and praise the Lord for adoption. If you're saved, you've been adopted, and praise the Lord for that. But what I mean by that is this, that the person that has been adopted many times will deal with rejection. Why didn't my birth parents? And it's a battle. Again, people with a handicap, because they can't run like the others. Sicknesses, and so many more. We'll talk about a lot of different ones tonight. In our text, we have a story of a character having dealt with rejection. Let's read the verse in chapter number 11, verse number 1. It says, "And Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah, and Gilead's wife bare him sons. And his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah, and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren, and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah, and went out with him." In our text we have this story of this guy named Jephthah, and he was rejected, which led to Jephthah making a very poor decision. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Again, this man named Jephthah, he was the son of a man named Gilead. The issue was is that Gilead had an adulterous relationship with a harlot, as the Bible says. But Gilead, his father, brought him into his home when the child was born, Jephthah was born, and raised him in the home with his other sons. They all grew up together. The problem was that these other boys that, you know, were birthed by the mother living in the home, they didn't accept Jephthah. They rejected Jephthah. And when they all got a little bit older, they forced Jephthah out of the home. He was raised in a home with his father and stepbrothers, but his stepbrothers rejected him and forced him out of their home. This hurt Jephthah deeply, and you'll see it in this chapter. Here's a man. Isn't it amazing how the different things that we face in life, how the Bible has teaching on every one of them? And here we have this person who is dealing with rejection. Because I don't care who you are, none of us like to be rejected. None of us like to have someone tell us to go away. None of us like to have, you know, even as a coach, right? Our other coaches here tonight, right? You can see it in the boys' eyes whenever, you know, you say, "Hey, have a seat on the bench." They feel rejected, you know, and well, they usually deserve it, right? But you know, they just feeling when someone tells you, you know, no, when someone, you know, maybe sets you down for someone else, when someone no longer wants to be around you. And there's a lot of different illustrations, and we'll get into a lot of them tonight. But rejection, I don't care what type it is, it hurts. When someone else turns their back on you, it hurts. When someone else is not showing to you that love that you love them with, it hurts. And we can all sit here and say, well, I don't have a problem with this. This never affects me. And you would be lying. Maybe not on purpose. But I promise it affects every one of us. That feeling of rejection. And I want you to see some things tonight. If it's something you're going through, I hope it is a blessing to you. If it's something that you're going to use to be a blessing to someone else, I pray the Lord uses this teaching. So listen, please. Because living in the world that we live in today, we're going to deal with a lot of rejection. Most of those children that ride in on our buses are dealing heavily with rejection. You say, yeah, they act up so bad. Let me tell you, part of the reason they're acting up is because they think they have to do that to get attention. Because they live a life of rejection. I mean, let's be honest for just a quick second, all right? If I was not in church, I've always said this and I mean it. If I was not in church and I wasn't saved and someone knocked on my door and said, hello, you've never met me, but I would like you to put your children on a vehicle with me and I'll bring them back in 3 hours. Not a chance. Not a chance would I ever put my children on a bus with some ugly man that knocked on his door and said, hey, give me your children for 3 hours. I would slam the door in that guy's face, right? I'm talking about me, right? There's no way. Why did they do it? Most of them, they want them out of the house. And the children know that. Most of those children that ride in on Sundays have a dad or a mom that walked out on them. And they're dealing with this. This feeling of rejection. And this is what the devil puts through the mind. What's wrong with me? And I'm looking at you to start this message and tell you this. There's nothing wrong with you. People make foolish decisions. But we deal with rejection. If you're ministering at all in children's ministries, you're dealing with rejection. And there's so many different ways we're going to look at it, but look at it real quick with me, all right? First of all, we see the presence of rejection. Rejection is a reality in all of our lives. The presence of rejection. First of all, letter A underneath this, causes of rejection. What brings rejection into our life? Number one, and this is probably the primary reason, all right? Number one, situations out of our control. Situations out of our control bring rejection in our life. I have written next to that, rarely do we face rejection because of what we've done. Normally you're rejected because of someone else's choices. Normally you are dealing with rejection, and I'm not saying it's not real. It does hurt. It is real. It is something we have to learn to deal with. But the fact is this, that normally these are situations that are beyond our control. Verse number one in our text, it says, now Jephthah the Gilead, he was a mighty man, a man of valor. He was the son of a harlot. Gilead was his daddy. He had nothing to do with the fact that he was the son of a harlot. Totally not in his control. He could have done nothing about that. Yet that is the reason why he was rejected. And a lot of times people deal with rejection because of situations that are out of their control, not what they've done. I give you all kinds of options. And again, these reasons, that is not an exhaustive list. This is just, we could talk about a long time tonight. But first of all, I'll give you some ideas of what I'm talking about. Sometimes a disability. A disability will make someone feel like they're rejected. When they are, you know, maybe don't meet up to the ideas of everyone else around them. And it's something they cannot help. You remember whenever the man who needed healed, I believe it was the blind man, and you remember what all the disciples did when they gathered around the guy? They sat there and said, all right, Lord, who sinned, this guy or his parents? Well, no one. No one did something to make this happen. Matter of fact, the Lord said why it happened, for the glory of God. Lazarus got sick, and the disciple says, you know, are you going to go, Lord? You just heard your very good friend is sick unto death. And he said, it's not unto death, it's for the glory of God. And sometimes we will go through things and we'll feel like, because trust me, Mary and Martha felt like they were rejected by the Lord. Sometimes there are situations that we will deal with that are out of our control, be it a disability. And we as a church and we as a people need to make sure that we do not treat someone so that they feel rejected. Amen. Can I just be really forward with you? We have, you know, we praise the Lord. You know, there's some that come to our church, and I'm thankful that our church makes them feel welcome. I'm thankful, you know, but where they are, right? I've got, a young man in my Sunday school class, love him to death, and I'm thankful that he feels welcomed at our church. I'm thankful. I'm thankful he likes to sit next to me. I'm thankful that, you know, we sing together. I'm thankful because he's been other places where people said, no. That hurts. Some times by people's appearance. It's out of their control. Maybe it's something that happened to them. Something, the way they were born. You sit there and say, preacher, all right, we get it. Don't be bullying, all right? You know, I'm not talking just about that kind of scenario. I'm talking about this, that if we're not careful, we do that. And it's not a, you know, 2018 issue. Remember the book of James? We'll reference it in a second. When the people were rebuked in the book of James because there was someone that came in goodly apparel, and they said, whoa, sit right here, brother. And then the guy that came in the terrible apparel, they said, whoa, you're in the back, dude, right? And the Lord rebuked them for that. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing in 2018. I know that kid that rides the bus probably doesn't have the same type of clothes on, and they may have some messy hair, and who knows where they've been, but guess what? God loves them. God loves them. There's some things we may have to deal with, but when we get to heaven, I promise you this, if you've invested in that person and they come to know the Lord, you won't care what you had to deal with. You'll thank God. Amen. Sometimes when someone doesn't meet up to someone else's standards, they're rejected. When we think that someone ought to be more like us, be careful, teenagers. Visitor walks in. No visitor should ever walk into the teen class and sit down on one of those chairs and none of you go and speak to them. You ought to go introduce yourself, and if they have no one to sit with, sit by them. Sit with them. Adults. You say, but I always sit here. Get out of your pew, man, all right? It's okay. Or invite them to your pew. I know it's a holy ground, but someone else can sit there with you, all right? Sometimes we make people feel rejected because they don't meet up to our standards. Maybe they're poor. Maybe they're sickly. Maybe a family issue. Again, I say this, God is not a respecter of persons. Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34. Can I tell you, God could care less what kind of car you drove in tonight, or if you walked in or rode a buggy. He doesn't care. God is not a respecter of persons. He don't care what the designer label on your clothes says. God does not care. God loves everyone. And by the way, nor should we care about these things. No one should ever feel superior to anyone else. God despises that attitude. James chapter number 2, which I already referenced. So we have to be very careful that we don't make someone feel rejected because they don't quite meet up to our standard. Now I'll pause and say this, and I said it to my Sunday school class when I taught this lesson, all right? We as a church also, and I'm going to give you both sides of the ditch here, we as a church also have an obligation to keep each other, accountable in light of this, all right? That, you know, while we should not show, you know, any rejection toward those who cannot help their situation, we ought to help those who could help their situation but are choosing not to. And by help them, I mean correct them. You're awful quiet on me, right? Correct them. You know, if someone's, you know, blowing all their money on lottery tickets and don't have the money to pay the rent, we have an obligation to correct them. I love you, brother, but you're doing this wrong. If someone's living their life and, you know, there's nothing wrong, it doesn't matter to me what, you know, that person walks into this church wearing it. I could care less. But as a child of God, you know, if Travis Burke, let's just be honest, all right? Because you have a higher standard for me than you do other people. You know you do, right? Because if I walked in a pair of cut-off jeans and a shirt with nasty spills all over it, and I stood up here and said I'm going to preach, you all say, no, you're not. You all would. And well, you should. Because you know I can do better. You're really quiet now. You know I can do better. I'm not saying you have to be rich. If I come in and I stink so bad that no one can shake my hand, you don't put your arm around me and say, poor you. I just don't want you to feel rejected. No, as a Christian, you should say, brother, take a shower. Amen. You're all so quiet on me tonight, right? Amen. Because I can do better. All right, I'll go on. You're loving that so much, right? Some people feel rejected because the situation is out of control. Number two, another cause of rejection is for selfish motives. Jephthah's brothers rejected him over money. Look down in verse number two, all right? It says, and Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wives grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, look what they said. He had nothing to do with, you know. They may have chosen, you know, the fact that he was a harlot, but that's not what was in their heart. Look at it. Thou shalt not, what? You're not inherit our father's house. They didn't want to split the pot with him. They didn't want to divide the money with him. They didn't want him to get an equal share. So they said, you're out of here. And a lot of times you will be rejected at times because of other people's selfish motives. Sometimes it's because they're driven, as I have in the notes, sometimes people's rejection will be driven by a desire to please themselves. They don't want you around because you're cramping their style. They don't want you around because they know what you would say. They don't want you around, and it can be applied in all these different areas. Sometimes family will not want you around because when you're around, they know they can't do whatever. I go back to that situation because it's so real in a lot of young people's life. When, you know, sometimes, and this is just unfortunately true in 2018, sometimes with these children, that dad or mom walked out because they just wanted to live for themselves. They were tired of the burden of family. They didn't want to be tied down. And for selfish motivations. Sometimes another cause of rejection, number three, is the stand that you take. Sometimes it's because your stand. In verse number three, then Jephthah fled from what? His what? In his eyes, those were his brothers. And that's another thing that drove them crazy. I could almost see him, but brothers were not your brothers. But brothers were not your brothers. And sometimes we may be rejected because of the stand that we take. Sometimes at times we'll be rejected because, we have to take a stand on something that is right. Be it the fact that you're a saint. You know, when you get saved, it will separate you from people. Not that you want to not have a relationship with people, but sometimes because of the change that it should make in a person's life, sometimes people are, whoa. Where they once invited you out on Friday night, now they're not, because you're a Christian. When you're a saint, when you're separated, I promise you this, if you're going to live a holy, separated life, there are going to be people that don't accept you. They're not going to want to hang out with you. Because you've chosen to live a separated life, or just taken a stand over sin. In Matthew chapter number 5, I'll read it to you real quick, and you'll know the verse when I start reading it. In Matthew chapter number 5, and in verse number 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Sometimes you'll be rejected because of the stand that you take. So you see the causes of rejection. Then you see some of the conduits of rejection. What are the sources of rejection? Well, number one, we will be rejected by our foes. And that should come to no surprise, all right? Of course, our enemies are going to reject us. We would expect this. That normally doesn't shock us, right? When the liberal crowd out there thinks that we're wrong, well, duh, of course they do, right? I didn't lose any sleep. You know, I reposted on Twitter the other day, this leader of the Democratic party they were having, and a Democrat, you can go back and watch this myself, I made my wife watch it, and this Democrat, he was standing up and he's telling what the problems were and why these people were not voting Democratic. And you know what his reason was? The pulpit. Is that what he said? You better stop and think about that. They were rallying against the pulpit. That's dangerous, right? That's dangerous. But it didn't shock me. It didn't, like, I watched that and said, I cannot believe that they think we're wrong, right? I didn't stay up all night just staring at the ceiling saying, I can't believe that Democratic leader thinks I'm bad, right? Nah. I went to sleep, man. It didn't bother me at all, right? You know, I, no shock. Of course our foes will reject us. But number two, sometimes your friends. Now that is a different story. I've said this phrase many times, only a friend can betray a friend. An enemy can't betray you, but a friend can betray. You'll notice about friends, just two things. Number one, that is a dominating source. Most often, this is where rejection hurts us. When someone who we thought would not hurt us does. Those are the ones that hurt. Those are the ones that seem to be most frequent. And it is a dangerous source of rejection. Because notice what I've written here. We often are tempted to compromise to gain acceptance. And this is never right. And all we're doing is hurting ourselves. Psalm 41, verse number 9. Brother Ricky, will you read Psalm 41, verse number 9 for me? All right. And then Isaiah 53, and verse number 3, Brother Jordan, do you care to read that verse for me real quick? All right. We most often, when we choose to compromise, and I'll get to what I'm talking about in a second, we're hurting ourselves. But there is one who understands. In Psalm chapter 41, verse number 9, Brother Ricky, when you have that. That one hurts. When your friend, your own familiar friend, rises up against you and rejects you, it hurts. Isaiah 53 and verse number 3, there is one who understands. Good. If you haven't caught on, the Lord understands. He was, just as the text reads, rejected. Rejected by his family, rejected by his people, rejected by his closest friends. No one has ever faced rejection like our Lord has. He understands. A third conduit of rejection is foes, friends, and number three, our family. Our family is probably the most precious gift from God. And this rejection is probably the hardest to deal with. And if you don't deal with it, it will destroy you. When your own family rejects you. Now, I'm going to pause and say this, all right? If you're on the receiving end of this rejection, if it's because a spiritual person has said, look, you're wrong, like I'll give you a for example, all right? I have a cousin right now. All right, I love him. I love him. And I pray for him every day. He said, hey, why don't you come hang out at my house tonight? We'll spend, you know, a couple hours together. No. Now, I'll invite him to my house. I would. It's not that I don't want to try to reach him, but you don't understand what's going on at that house. Right, Crystal? Right? And, you know, if someone is trying to help you and correct you, and that is why you're being rejected, don't get mad. Get right with God. But sometimes family, just being real here, sometimes family does you wrong. Sometimes it's really bad. Sometimes a father, you know, and understand this, and I'm thankful for you here tonight, all right? But understand this tonight, all right? That if you're married in this room, God wants you to stay married. I'll say that one more time. If you're married in this room, God wants you to stay married. You say, well, it's just not going to work out. We're going to get a divorce. Number one, you're rejecting each other, which is anti-God. It's not what God said to do. You should cleave to one another. But understand that decision you're making is not just affecting you. It's affecting the people around you, especially your children. And you better be careful because they will be dealing with rejection. Not that it can't be overcome, and not that it can't be helped by God's grace. But don't just think flippantly, well, it's not going to bother anyone. You're wrong. You're wrong. And when family, this precious gift, when that will destroy us. And again, Jesus understands. In John 7 and verse number 5, it simply says this, that neither did his brethren believe in him. Jesus' own brothers rejected him. Not until after his death on the cross would they come to know the Lord. Even his own brothers, when people would say, aren't you the brother of that teacher? They rolled their eyes at him. They wanted nothing to do with him. You see, number two, the power of rejection. We saw the presence of rejection, the power of rejection. What does rejection do? Number one, it brings confusion in our life. When dealing with rejection, often our hearts and our beliefs can become very confused. The way that we think starts getting all messed up. And in these three ways, number one, self-perplexity. All right, we get a twisted viewpoint of ourselves. It becomes hard to trust and to judge right. In verse number six, the first part, it says, and they came into Jephthah, said, come and be our captain. Can I just remind you of something? They had just kicked him out earlier. Now they wanted to be in charge. Why? Because he was a good fighter. And they were being attacked. And they were about to be destroyed. And so now they said, big brother, come help us. We'll make you our leader. Just please come. And you know what? He went. He went straight there. Because a lot of time, because Jephthah, you can keep reading in this chapter. Read it on your own tonight, all right? This Jephthah, he was getting all messed up in his head. He was just dying to get their acceptance. He wanted so bad for them to accept him for whatever reason. I'm telling you what Jephthah was. The Holy Spirit of God tells us who Jephthah was. Verse number one, Jephthah the Gilead was what? A mighty man of valor. That's God's viewpoint of Jephthah. I would love for it to be said that God said of Travis Burke that he was a mighty man of valor. But I'm not about even think that God would say that of me. But God did say that of Jephthah. But you know what Jephthah was doing? Wondering, will you really accept me? God had already settled that. But he had this twisted view. And someone who has been rejected, they'll get this twisted view on themselves. They kind of think that they're never quite right. They're never quite good enough. And it becomes hard for them to trust other people. It becomes hard for them to, a lot of times, judge and make right decisions when they're feeling rejected. Not that they can't. I'm just talking about when they feel and the spirit of rejection is over them. They feel like, I can't. I'm not good enough. I'll never be able to make it. And if someone reaches out to them, no. They're having a hard time trusting. I'm thankful we've seen victories in that, you know, and I'm not going to give personal illustrations, but I've seen it in our family. I've seen it in our church. I've seen it all around where people come from a time of rejection, but God has been healing that. And you see them accepting love, and you see them rejoicing in what God has given to them. And praise God for that, because the spirit of rejection can make you really look at life different. Self-preservation kicks in. The person that's been going through rejection will often put up a wall or go into their shell because they just don't want to be hurt again. They said, come be our captain that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Why don't you come? We'll make you our captain. Wow. Can I already tell you what he was? In God's eyes, a mighty man of valor. But those who rejected him said, we'll make you a captain. God already had a better viewpoint of him. But a lot of times the person that feels rejected, and I got to hurry for time's sake, they start putting up these walls just trying to protect themselves. Self-pleasing. Often the person who is feeling rejected, this confusion kicks in. And I'll just put it this way, one will take stupid risk seeking acceptance. It's amazing. And I gave this illustration when I taught my Sunday school class this lesson. I worked, you know, and I still work with teens, all right? I can't tell you, growing up in church teen group and having been a youth pastor for many years and being a pastor and still working with teens, how many times I've seen that one teen that just was on the outside, but then someone really kind of having fun with them said, I dare you to do this, and it's totally stupid. And they could get really hurt. But that person does it. That's how a lot of people take their first drink. That's how a lot of people get their first high. Because they're just trying to find acceptance. Maybe they will let me in if I do this. Jephthah was willing to go and take on a nation and an army. Because maybe my brothers will accept me. So a lot of times you've seen it too. People will do stupid things trying to get acceptance. I'll say more about that in a second. There's confusion. It also brings number two, contention. Contention. Rejection will influence you to never trust people. Often a person that feels rejected, if they don't ever get through this, will become a bitter person. Always ready to fight. Throw down at all times. If you don't believe me, come sit in Brother Rob's Sunday school class. Because there's certain boys I'll have you talk to. Certain boys who are dealing with rejection, because they're on my bus too. Certain of them, when they have this spirit of rejection, and you see it in their eyes, what hurt? I mean, just a few weeks ago, and I praise God she's back home now, but I knocked on a door on a Saturday to visit one of our young ladies. No one answered the door, then one of the other writers came out and said, she's not home. Her mom got arrested last night, it's in jail. And the grandma brought this child that Sunday morning and met us out there because the child wanted to ride the bus. Praise God for that. But you ought to have seen her eyes. The hurt that's there. And if it's not dealt with, go ahead. I told you, go sit in that class, some of them boys. On our kids' crusade, there's this one boy I had to go sit in the back with. He was cussing, calling young ladies terrible names. And he's like 12. And I went back in the back of the bus and I said, sit down. He said, no. I said, sit down. He goes, make me. Now my flesh wanted to make him, right? I said, please sit down. I said, I will stop the bus and we will not go any further until you sit down. And all the other kids said, sit down so we can go home. And he sat down, but he was, you see the anger. He was ready to fight me, man. See, what did you do to him? Nothing. You don't know what he's going home to. And rejection makes you bitter and angry and contentious. Number three, rejection will make you compliant. Rejection will drive you to do anything to gain acceptance. I have in your notes, people will find love, join gangs, and get involved in anything seeking acceptance. That young lady, a lot of times, and that young man, and you know this is true without getting into details, when they are going and battling rejection, whatever situation it may be, they will give themselves and lose their purity just trying to feel loved. Go into inner city, find the gangs. You know what they call themselves, the gangs, amongst themselves? We're family. Where are they getting all these kids? Kids that feel rejected. Go down to Elmwood, right? They feel rejected. They finally found a group of people. Your goth style, they found a community. Your sodomites, how have they sold it? It's the LGBT what? Community. You're accepted. It's okay. Rejection makes you seek this. And people will do foolish things. Verse number 30, look what he did. He did a foolish thing. Probably if you know Jephthah, this is what you think about, all right? In Judges 11, verse number 30, and Jephthah, he's going out to battle. He stops and he talks to God. In verse 30, and Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering. God, you give me victory here. When I come home having obtained victory, my brothers are going to accept me. And whatever, what I promise God, whatever walks out, whatever approaches me as I enter my house, I'm going to throw it on the altar as a burnt offering. Because he expected the sheep or the goats or whatever the case may be. But that's not what happened. Verse number 34, Jephthah came to Mizpah to his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him. And every time I read the passage, my mind just kicks in of the pain, the hurt in his eyes. As he's probably coming back, yes, I'm going to be accepted. I won. I'm going to give God whatever approaches me. You can almost see him. No. Go back. No. Welcome home, Daddy. No. No. And I'll not get into the theological debate of what happened, other than I will tell you that the Bible says in verse number 39, it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned to her father, who did with her according to his vow which he had vowed. Now, I'm not even going to share. There's people who debate what happened. But I'll tell you what I know happened. Is that whether she went off in a service of the temple or whether she was sacrificed on a burnt offering, I don't know exactly, but I'm going to tell you this. He lost his daughter. He lost his daughter. And be careful if you're dealing with rejection, because if you don't deal with it, good chance you'll lose your kids too. Be careful. When you're rejected, I better catch this. I'm done with one last few pots, right? But look at me. if you won't give it to God and you're dealing with rejection and you refuse to get it right, you will do something stupid. You'll do something stupid. Just trying to find acceptance. I can't even begin to tell you the amount of young people I've watched growing up and then in our ministry who did something so stupid. Some of my best friends growing up, God called to preach. I mean, I gave this illustration in my Sunday school class. One of my best friends got called to preach just weeks after I surrendered to preach. We preached together at camp. We preached together at competitions. We all went to the same nursing home. We tag team preached. But he had a mom and dad who said, "I don't want nothing to do with you." And he just looked for love. And I can take you to his house because he lives now in Westchester. He's a severe alcoholic. And it breaks my heart because he wouldn't deal with it. He felt like it's his fault. Like he did something wrong. Principles for rejection. What do I do, preacher? All right, if you're dealing with it or want to help someone through it. Ready? I'll be real quick, I promise. First of all, understand these principles. A, God's way is right. What do you mean by God's way is right? Number one, if you have done right, it will be worth it. You say, "Well, I'm being rejected because of the stand I took." I know it might be hard for a couple times, but I want to encourage you. Be encouraged, my friend. It will be worth it all when you see Jesus. Number two, if you have done nothing wrong, maybe it's not because of what you're doing, but because of what you're not doing. Let me tell you this, God has a great plan for you. So what do you mean by that? And I told my Sunday school class this, and when you're trying to help those who maybe the child's hurting because they feel rejected, because maybe someone walked out, maybe they don't understand why their parent was never there for them, and whatever the case may be, all right? When you're dealing with someone and fill in the blank with whatever, the first step to victory is that person accepting that God loves me so much, he put me in a situation where I can get the love that I deserve. Remember that, please. Because you will help people get through this if they can learn to accept, I didn't do anything wrong. That's not why so-and-so turned away from me. But God has worked out a situation for me to be in a place now to get the love that I need. And when they learn to accept God's plan for their life, it helps remove the rejection. Either way, you got to learn to accept God's plan as being perfect. God, here's the bottom line. God didn't make mistakes. You can trust him. Letter B, maybe it has nothing to do with you. Do not allow the devil to whisper in your ear, "Well, if I were whatever, I would be accepted." You need to think correctly. God made me and has a plan for me in his will. Jeremiah 1:5, God had a plan for the prophet Jeremiah while he was in the womb. God had called him to preach. Many people spend their entire life trying to make up for something they never did wrong. Many times it's not you that the people have rejected. Let me tell you, that's the bottom line. It's not you. So, well, why didn't my parent raise me? What was wrong with me? Nothing. That person rejected God. Catch that. Remember Samuel was all depressed, and I have the reference there. Remember when the people said, "Samuel, we want a king like all the other nations." And Samuel, their prophet, got very depressed. And he went to God and he said, "God, I don't know why, but these people want a king." And he was depressed. And remember what Jesus or what God said to him in 1 Samuel 8:7? He said, "They have not rejected you. They have rejected me." And a lot of times, if you're battling through rejection, understand people, because of selfish motivations, maybe because of nothing that you did, you have to understand it's not you they're rejecting God. If someone walks in this place or in my life this week and I don't accept them and I give them the spirit of rejection because I think I'm something better than them, or I think that I know better than they do, or I'm at a higher class than they are, I got news for you. It's not them I'm rejecting, it's God. Because God told me to treat them with love. God told me to treat them with respect. God told me to sit them down next to me. God said to befriend that person. And it's not them that I'm rejecting, it's I'm rejecting God's plan. And understand, you have to accept this. Let her see, if you're rejected, Jesus is all you need. Psalm 73:25. Brother Chad, can you read that for me? Psalm 73:25. But understand, if you are going through rejection, you got to settle in your mind, if I have Christ, I have all I need. Jephthah convinced himself that he needed his brother's approval. If I can just get them to accept me. I mean, we look at it thousands of years later and sit there and say, why did he need them? He was a mighty man of valor. He was a good man. What was his desire to get their approval who hated him? It's easy for us to look at that and say, why did he do that? But when it's us, our thinking gets a little confused too. You need to settle this in your mind. Psalm 73:25, Brother Chad. Who have I in heaven but thee? There is none that I desire beside thee. Letter D, when rejected, if you're being rejected, focus on investing in others. How can I get through the spirit of rejection? Start living for other people. Look in Isaiah 53, and we'll all be done. And I promise this is it. And you have proof right there in the notes. We're done. Isaiah chapter 53. See, what do I do when I feel rejected? And I know we went a little long, but this is an important lesson. I want to finish it tonight. Isaiah chapter 53 and in verse number 3. Look at these verses and we're done. It says this. Brother Jordan, will you also find Ephesians 1? Get ready to read that for me. Isaiah 53. He is despised and rejected of men. That's our Lord Jesus. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. By the way, not only does Jesus understand rejection, but we're the ones that rejected him. We all are guilty of that. You may say, well, I got saved the first time I heard it. Yeah, but you've not been perfect since. And there's been times, just like me, that I've known better. And I've known what he said. And I just rejected him. Verse 3, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was rejected. So what did he do? Being the most rejected person ever upon the face of the earth, what did he do? Verse 4, surely he hath borne, next word, our griefs. He's carried what? Our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted, but he was wounded for what? Our transgressions. He was bruised for what? Our iniquities, the chastisement of what? Our peace was upon who? Him. And with his stripes, who's healed? You know what he did? Being absolutely, totally rejected by his family, by his friends, by his nation, knowing all that would reject him. You know what he did? He said, I'm going to give my life for you. If you're battling with rejection, and maybe it's really got you down and you've been down a while, let me tell you what to do. Quit focusing on yourself and start investing in other people. Quit feeling sorry for yourself and start living for other people. So I feel rejected. Well, then go make someone else's day. And I got news for you. And everyone knows this. The more you live for other people, the more joy you get in your life. Jephthah ran back to the ones who rejected him instead of investing into those dearest to him. Those brothers, they didn't really love him. But I tell you who did. The one that ran out, his brothers didn't run out the door saying, welcome home. The one that really loved him, he had to turn aside. Don't be swayed by people's words, but be led by God's. I got news Good news for you, believer. Ephesians 1:6. Read nice and loud, Brother Jordan. Nice and slow and loud. Go ahead. You're accepted. You say, well, so-and-so rejected me. God accepted you.